bless you this morning. Let's let the musicians go to their seats. Thank our musician for the song service this morning. Amen. We love the Lord and happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning. It's good to be with you. We'll go ahead and get into the scriptures this morning. I want to talk to you this morning about the fruits of the Spirit. So we'll go to Galatians chapter 5. I want to read verse 13 through 26. Amen. Well, when you're a body of believers, you got a few people missing it, sure, you feel it. Yeah. Amen. So I'd ask that each one of you just pull on the word this morning to make up for the absence we have this morning. And I know the Lord will take care of the rest. So we're just happy to be with you and want to stay at our post of duty.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
So Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, Paul is speaking. He said, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in this one word, in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, it's hard to say, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another." Amen. Let's just bow our hearts to the Lord as we just want to give this service to Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we love You. We're thankful, Lord, that from the foundation of the world, You put a call upon our lives, Lord, and that's the reason we're here today. And we're thankful, Lord, that You have gotten preeminence in our life, that You've got a hold of us and You turned us from the direction we were going. And now we're assembled under the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ. And we're thankful to be here, Lord. We're asking God that as we are Your people, that You would help us this morning as the enemy would like to be against us today. We know he is, but we also know that You are victorious. And God, that You're here present to be victorious in this service and through us. We love You, Lord, and we just want to give You the preeminence this morning, that You'd speak to us out of Your word. We give You the liberty that You deserve, Lord, to just go anywhere You need to go this morning in the scriptures. We just surrender ourselves to You, our physical being, our voice, our mental status. It's all Yours now, Lord. And we ask, God, that You would just take this entire service and into Thy hands. And every spirit that would be contrary, we ask, God, that You'd put it away and let the ministry of the word go forth now, that each one of us would be able to hear it and be able to make sane choices based upon the words of God this morning. We ask, Lord, that You'd help us now and commit this service into Thy hands and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you can be seated. You know, you hear people say all the time, and I know I'm not saying something that that I haven't gone through myself. And I'm pretty sure, as a matter of fact, if you're a Christian, you've been a Christian very long, if you haven't done this, then I would wonder. But a lot of people say, do I have the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Do I have the Holy Ghost? Have I ever received that? Do I have that new birth that we talk about? And it is a new birth. I was talking to someone the other day, and I said, it's a shame what the churches have done to the gospel.
Yeah.
And I said, this person I knew many, many years ago, and I said, I found the real thing.
Yeah.
I found something real. And that real thing is a birth. And so a lot of people ask, well, do I have the Holy Ghost? And I'll tell you how to figure out whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. It's real simple. Just look at your thirst.
That's right.
Just look at what you're thirsty for, and that'll tell you what you've got inside.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about that this morning. And so, you know, we talk very much, and I'm thankful for the message to help us get the insight that we do on these things. Brother Ram talked about how we are a three-part being. We're a body. We have a body. We have a spirit. We have a soul. And our body, of course, being our flesh. And so our body having the five senses of touch, taste, see, smell, and hear. And then our spirit having the imaginations, conscience, memory, reason, and affections. And then, of course, Brother Ram told us that what's in the soul is either faith or doubt. It's either from God or it's not from God. And that's the thing that's predestinated. And that, once it's quickened, that can't change. That's who you are. That's that. If it's faith and it's of God, it's always been that way. It just has to be quickened in your life to become real. And so, but in your flesh did not get born again. Your flesh desires the things of the world, and so does your spirit, if it's not under the control of the Holy Spirit. So your flesh is your flesh, but it's also the flesh nature in your human spirit. I want you to think about that, because it's not just this guy right here, but it's actually the human nature of your thinking, of your imaginations, your conscience, your memory, reason, and affection. Those things have a nature that lean toward the flesh.
Yeah.
And so when the scriptures are referring to flesh or carnality and that sort of thing, flesh is not just the physical flesh, but it's that fallen nature in your spirit realm that has the tendency of the flesh. It's that part of the fall that reigns in your spirit realm. And so that's something we want to keep in mind as we go on this morning. And so the flesh is, the scripture tells us that it's carnal, right? It's carnal. It is at enmity with God. In other words, it's, you know, I think we read it the other day, that you can't please God living by the flesh, and it's at enmity against God, and so you can't please God by your flesh, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, and Paul talked about this too, but you could sacrifice all you could imagine in your whole entire life and bring that to God, and God still has to stamp reject on it. Because all our works is filthy rags.
That's right.
Right? No matter what we can muster up, if somehow we could, upon our first breath as a child, become a sacrifice for the Lord, and at no point ever become something other than just a continual sacrifice, suffering for the Lord, all the way till we're 100 years old and to the day we die, and bring all that to the Lord and say, there it is, he'd have to say reject. Mm-hmm. Because we can't do it.
That's right.
It can't be done by our flesh, it can only be done by him. Life has to come from him. And that's the only place, the only way you'll ever get it. And so it's at this natural flesh, and the nature of the flesh is at enmity with God. It can't please him. And this is what was given to us in the fall. This is what came to us through the fall of man. So to live by the flesh, to live by the cravings and the desire of the flesh, or of the fallen state of in our spirit realm, the things to chase after the things of the world, and even to try and serve God through that realm is... it's death.
Yeah.
You can't get there from here in that way. And so it lays within our flesh. We read here about the works of the flesh. And so it lays within our flesh, every one of us, it lays within our flesh, to do these works, to do these things that we you know. So yes, adultery lays in your flesh. Yeah. You say, I'm a believer. That's right. You're a believer. But adultery lays within your flesh. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
See, because flesh and blood does not inherit the kingdom of heaven. It receives benefits from God, but it didn't get changed yet. It's going to be changed,
yeah,
but it hasn't been yet. And so it lays within our flesh, and I'll read these things again. It lays in there. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wraths, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murder, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. All those things lay within our flesh. Even as a Christian, it's still there. Right? It is. It's still there. And so those things lay in there. And if you turn to the flesh and you say, flesh, produce me something. Guess what it's going to produce?
Uh-huh.
Right? It's going to produce what you just read right there if it's not in control of another control tower.
Yeah.
That's all that's there. And so for a person to try to walk this life, even as a Christian, as a religious person, without something with the power to subdue that flesh nature, both in your natural flesh and in your spirit, if you don't have that, then you can't produce anything else. And so this is the thing we default back to. If we don't stay prayed up, if we don't stay in the presence of the Lord, and things get tough, and things get, somebody gets us crossways or something like that, this is how we go right back to this kind of thing. Somebody gets you mad enough, you will hit them.
Yeah.
See? It's there. It lays within the flesh still to do those things.
Right.
And so they get you mad enough, frustrated enough, you're going to holler at your kids.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
It happens. Now, it doesn't mean that you're not a Christian, but see, that lays in the flesh, and it should be an ever-present reminder to us that we are this three-part person, right?
Right.
And even though you can rejoice and know that something down inside is different, has been changed, that you're quickened, you still see lay in there, and it should be your number one desire of day to day is to see what you can do to make that guy stay dead.
Right.
Right? Because, and I know Brother Ram talked about, well, who produced more fruits of the Spirit? Was it your kind old priest who loaned you money and all that sort of thing? And here's Jesus running the money changers out of the temple. I know that. But you put that priest up on the cross.
Yeah.
And he probably wouldn't say, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. You push him, he might have more fruits of the Spirit, supposedly look like. But you put him through a hard enough squeeze, and this right here, because having not the Holy Ghost in his life, this right here will begin to manifest,
yeah,
because it lays within there. So it is our new birth that we have to live by and live in such a way that we crucify the things of the flesh as much as possible.
Yeah.
And so, if we live by the flesh, we will die. And so, as I said, it lays within our flesh to do these things. And if we don't have the Holy Ghost leading us and guiding us, then this is what we revert back to. And it's a daily battle. So this is where Satan lays. Okay? He lays in that. And he will until God changes your body. That's where he is. He lays in there, and that's where he wants to rear up his ugly head. And that's the thing that you fight against. Remember, the thing that is your biggest enemy is you. Right?
That's right.
Because Brother M tells us that if God could get his hand on one man totally surrendered to God, he could change the whole world.
That's right.
He's done it.
Mm-hmm.
He's done it many times. He did it with Jesus Christ. Right?
That's right.
He's done it through many men. Apostle Paul, through Brother Branham. He could change masses of people just because one man surrendered. What if that one person is you?
Yeah.
That if you could finally get yourself out of the way, God will have preeminence in your life. What can he do through us if that happened? See? And so truly it is. It's not your boss. It's not your friend. It's not your family. It's not them. It's us. Because they can't hurt you if you're surrendered to God.
That's right.
So you are your worst enemy. You're the thing you've got to get out of the way and let God have preeminence in your life. And so this is where Satan lays. And this is the black dog. Okay? You remember the story Brother Bram tells about the Indian. Right, we're all familiar with it.
Yeah.
He gets saved, and they come back and ask him, well, how you doing? He said, well, good and bad. What do you mean? Well, there's two dogs in me, a black dog, white dog, and they're fighting all the time.
That's right.
Well, which one wins? The one you feed the most.
That's right.
Real simple. The one you feed the most. And so this flesh nature that I'm talking about in your flesh, in your fallen spirit, the nature of the flesh, that's the black dog that's going to be quarreling all the time with the Holy Spirit in your life, with the new birth in your life. That's where the fight is. And that's another good thing. I mentioned this. If you've got a fight in you, and then you know you got something going on.
Amen.
Right? Because there was a time when I chased after the world, and I didn't bat an eye. I chased after the world.
Yeah.
No question about it. She's shaking her head back there. I wonder why. Because she knew me.
Yeah.
She did that. You're right, Tony. I saw you. You chased the world. But I did.
Yeah.
Never thought about it one time. Just went right after it. See? But now there's a fight.
Right.
Well, what's in there fighting? Uh-huh. Praise God for the fight.
Amen.
Well, I might fall all kinds of, but praise God there's a fight in there.
Yes.
Right? And that's something that you want to see. And you don't ever want to, you want to nurture that thing that's trying to live right.
Yes.
And feed it. And you want to smother out the other thing that's trying to make you go contrary. And so there's your black dog. I was telling Mary Richard, while ago, I was mowing yesterday. Most of you have been out of the house. You know that our neighbors there in the mobile home, they've got these dogs. And they have this small dog, kind of a gray spotted thing or whatever. And then they got these two big black dogs. And I call those two big black dogs the devils from hell because they're so mean. I mean, they're just so vicious sounding and it's arguing with each other and all that and so forth. And but I was out mowing yesterday, and that little bitty dog, he come by, and when I go by on the lawnmower, well, he runs out there and runs back and forth. He's trying to bite at the lawnmower, see if he can get his head through the fence, and, you know, so he's trying to protect the property. Well, these other two big black dogs, they're not interested in me, and they're not even thinking about me, but they're watching him, and they're prancing around, balling behind him, you know, and he's down to business trying to do what he's supposed to do as a dog, right? Well, these black dogs are behind him, and they're, you know, and they're just wanting to pick on him while he's trying, and this has been going on for months.
Yeah.
So, you know, and that little dog, he's got this, not a real high pitch, but the big dogs, they have this big, deep, you know. Well, he's had a little higher pitch, and with the lawnmower going, I hear him, you know. Yeah. Well, yesterday, I'm going by there, and I hear him, and all of a sudden, I hear like this, you know. I look back there, and one of those big dogs was heading this way, and this little dog that's chasing me is heading this way, and both of them are biting each other on the rump, and they're spinning around in circles like that, you know. But I got to think about it. He's just trying to do what he's supposed to do, protect the property and all that, and this black dog is giving him troubles.
Yeah.
And they're quarreling. Uh-huh. Now, the Lord gave me this to minister on several days ago. But I'm out here yesterday, and I see this, and I say, that makes perfect sense to me. But this poor guy, he's got two black dogs he's having to deal with, you know. So anyway, kind of funny, but still, yeah, there you are. You've got this black dog that every time you want to do what's right, he's there to nip at you. And then, yeah, you got to fight with him, too, while you're trying to do what's right. But I will say this. A little dog was giving the big black dog something to think about, you know, so that's what we should do.
Yes.
We should give him something to think about.
Amen.
And so I'm not trying to be funny, but even though it was funny when I seen that yesterday, I laughed and I still laugh about it. But anyway, that's the way it is. We want to give the black dog something to think about.
Yeah.
And so this nature in your flesh, that is the black dog. So the law, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. The law was written for that guy.
Yeah.
The flesh and the fallen nature of the flesh, that's what the law was written for. Because, you know, a law is not for a person who's not breaking the law. The law is for those who are disobedient. Right? The law is there to arrest those who are disobedient to the things that they're supposed to be doing or things that are doing that they shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So the law was written for this fallen nature. This is the thing, and we know that the scripture tells us that the law, the purpose of the law was to condemn everyone because everyone was born in that situation. Everybody's born with that nature, that fallen nature of envy and strife and adultery and all these things. If God's not leading you and guiding you, you're going to manifest some of this.
Yeah.
I don't care who you are.
Right.
And you can horse around and think, no, you will manifest this. One day you'll have to look up and you'll have to look other people in the eye and say, you know what, it's right. I manifested these things.
Yeah.
And it's sure enough, if you reject the Holy Spirit, reject the Word, it's definitely going to happen, see? And so this is very important to us. So the law was written to arrest the entire population of humanity except the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because we all came by the fall. We're all guilty. And so until we understand that we are guilty, we're not going to come to grace. So the law is there to let you know you have missed the mark. And so it was written for the disobedient. Scripture said so. It's for the lawless and disobedient. And so the law was written for that purpose, and therefore, since all of us were born under the law, born with this fallen nature in our flesh, then every one of us came into this world guilty. And since we're all guilty of breaking the law, then we all have to be recipients of the curse of the law, or I won't call it the curse, but the discipline, or the punishment, or the consequences of breaking the law. It was all headed our way. Okay? And so now the scripture says, if you want to try and keep that law, in order to be able to come out clean, you've got to keep every bit of it.
Yeah.
That means you can't be any of these things. You can't be a murderer. You can't be a backbiter or a have strife or envy. Yeah. Any one of those things, if you break any one of those, you're guilty and under penalty of the law.
Yeah.
Right? Every bit of it. So that's why I don't understand these people who want to try and please God by keeping law, by doing these Jewish traditions and those sorts of things. It doesn't make sense to me. Matter of fact, it seems offensive to me to say that, yeah, Jesus Christ is my Savior. By His blood, He saved me. By His atonement plus
right. What
I do, then you're saying that what He did is not good enough. See? And so that's, you're trying to please God by works, and it just doesn't work. You cannot please God by works. It's only by grace through faith. And so the law was written to condemn the all of us, because we've got to come to the understanding that we're all born in sin and we all need His grace. And so we're all under the penalty of the law. And therefore, we need grace. So, if we live by the flesh nature, then we're guilty. And we're under the penalty. That law was written there for that purpose. But if we live by the Spirit, then we're free from the law. Right? If we live by Holy Spirit, not our spirit, but by the Holy Spirit, then we are free from the law. Now, what do you mean you're free from the law? You're put in a situation where the law has no jurisdiction on you.
Right. Come on.
Right? Wow. Does that mean that you can run 100 miles an hour? No. It means that something has changed in you and you don't want to.
That's right.
And therefore, because you don't want to, then the righteousness of not wanting to, that righteousness is imputed to you because He's changed the want to. Even though it lays within your flesh to do those things, God has imputed righteousness to you, right? Because you believe, and He has imputed that to you, and He's taken away by new birth, He's taken away the want to of those things, even though they lay in your flesh. He's given you a different desire. He's given you a different thirst. That's why I said a while ago, if you want to know whether you have experience with God, just look at your thirst. What is it you desire? And so, if you live by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, then you're free from the law. You're free from this thing that condemns you. So, now, we also read here in the Scriptures what the fruits of the Spirit are. And the fruits of the Spirit are exactly opposite of the works of the flesh. And so there is no law, and I've said this, it's been a while, but I've said it many times in the past, there is no law against love.
Right?
Well, we'll read those. The fruit of the Spirit is love. There's no law against love. There's no law against joy. Now, you can be happy in this world. And your friends and people around you could despise that you've got joy because they don't. And they could go and they could make laws and they could make it where it's illegal for you to be happy. They could do that. But I'm talking about in God's law, in God's kingdom. In God's kingdom, He has no law against love. He has no law against joy. Why would He have a law against the very thing that He gives, the very thing that He is, and the very thing that He institutes in your life? He would be defeating Himself if He had a law against that.
Yeah.
See? So there is no law. There's a law against the works of the flesh. And anything that you do according to the works of the flesh is condemned under the law. But there is no law of God for the fruits of the Spirit. There's no law against those things. Why? Because they are fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So He's not going to have a law against those things. So there is no law against love or joy or peace or long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, goodness, temperance. The Scripture said against such there is no law. There is no law against those things. There's no law against loving one another. There's no law against being long-suffering with one another. Right? When somebody's making mistakes, and you bear with them and long-suffering, there's no law in the presence of God against that. You say, well, they should know better. They've been to church 3 times now. They ought to know better. Where's your long-suffering? And what I'm trying to show you is that if we find ourselves not having long-suffering towards someone, then that's not of God.
Right.
Because the fruit of the Spirit of God is long-suffering. One of them is long-suffering. And so through long-suffering, right, through Him, we can bear with one another. We can love one another. We can have peace and joy with one another.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right?
If we have fruits of the Spirit. But if it's opposite of that, then it's not fruits of the Spirit. It's not what the Holy Spirit's doing in your life. It's this other thing beginning to rear His head up. It's that black dog beginning to get preeminence. When He begins to raise up, then you have strife and emulations. You've got all the things you listed. That begins to work, and you got backbiting and all kinds of squabbles. There's your black dog. Because fruits of the Spirit do not do those things.
Yep.
Right?
Right?
Fruits of the Spirit do not murder. Fruits of the Spirit do not steal, does not criticize, doesn't... You see what I'm saying? Fruits of the Spirit... The Bible tells us that the kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Right. What does heaven consist of? What is that? This experience of being in the presence of God consist of? Being in right standing, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Not in the flesh, not in the world, not in your friends, not in social media, but in the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so, if you like picking on one another, something's wrong.
That's right.
If you like a fuss, if you like to irritate people and you want to be irritated, something's wrong with your experience.
Right.
I don't like being irritated.
No.
I don't like being frustrated. No, we don't. But you know, if you look around, just watch people.
Mm-hmm.
They seem to be happy being discontent.
Mm-hmm.
But I want joy. I want peace. I want peace to reign.
Right.
I don't want to see squabbling. I don't want to be involved in squabbling.
No.
Right? And so, you see where I'm going with that. So a person that has the Holy Spirit living and working in their life doesn't want those things, doesn't chase after those things, and does not try to instigate those things.
Right.
A person who has fruits of the Spirit in their life that they're going to walk into a situation that's contentious, and they're going to their influence on that situation of contention is going to calm it down and have everybody in unity.
Yeah.
That's their desire. That's what they long for, mm-hmm. right? It's this generation, and keep in mind, as this generation goes on, it gets further and further away from God, even though they're religious. And so you see these things having preeminence. They can argue and bicker and fight. I talked to a man the other day for a long time. He considers himself as Christian and in some ways very staunch in his belief, but he let phrases and things come out of his mouth like, well, they weren't nothing to it. Something's wrong. Be ever so disciplined about certain things in the Word of God, and yet the life would not be there, and let all kinds of things be there. Why? Because it's works of the flesh still reigning and ruling. But fruits of the Spirit won't do that. Man, you follow me? So, there's no law against those things. You can do those things, and God will never apprehend you. You can love someone, you can have peace and joy, and you can have that influence on people, and God will never stop you and never correct you on it.
Yep.
Because he's the very one that instigates that through your life. So there's no law against that. But I want to show you something here, and I've mentioned this too. I know it's been a long time since I've said this. Maybe I even said it since we've been here in this building. I don't know, but I remember saying this before. If you notice, it says works of the flesh, but it's fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah.
It doesn't say fruits of the flesh, and it doesn't say works of the Spirit. It is works of the flesh and fruits of the Spirit, or fruit of the Spirit. Because, and there's a reason why Paul said it that way. Because when it lays front in the flesh, it's under the law, it's condemned, and it is works, and it's not accepted, it's not going to get you anywhere with God. And, you know, when it's fruit has life in it, right? Fruit, you take fruit, and you can turn around and actually plant that and get more life from it. So the works of the flesh are death. There is no life that can come from that. It's nothing but death. But fruits of the Spirit, you can actually take that, and the influence that it has on somebody's life can cause them to come forth and produce more of the same thing. Right? Because it's fruit. And every fruit, every seed has fruit within itself, or every fruit has seed within itself. Right? So when he says this is fruits of the Spirit. Why? Because it comes from God, emanates through your life, and that influence on other people can perpetuate the same life of God.
That's right.
But the works of the flesh brings death everywhere it goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he laid those out to be, they're different. Mm-hmm. They're different things. You know, it feels good to feel love in your heart. We like that.
Right.
We do not like to feel hate. Shouldn't.
No.
Right? We like to be at peace with one another. It feels good. I don't like being that some other way, and neither do you. Even sinner people, if they stop and think about it, can say, you know, I don't want to feel bad. I want to feel happy. Everybody wants to feel loved, right? And so it just goes, you know. It's common sense to know that it don't feel good when you smash your finger.
Right.
Nobody has to tell you, as a kid, as a little bitty kid, nobody had to tell you it's wrong to hit your brother or your sister. You know that because it's the law written in your members. You know that, your own conscience. And of course, some people can sear their conscience and then act like it don't bother them. And so... It is fruits of the Spirit, not works. And this is what the Holy Spirit will bear in our lives. It's fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
This is what he bears in your life. So when he comes in, this is what's produced if he comes in.
Right.
Right? Because it is fruits of the Spirit. It has life within it. And this is what a real Christian longs for. This is what we long for, not just for ourselves, but for everybody. for those, especially those around us, those that we have influence, we want them to experience the peace of God. You know, I've told you, if I find a good restaurant, I'm going to tell you about it. Why? Because I love you and I want you to have good food and have a good taste, a good experience.
Yep.
And if I find something that brings peace in my life, I want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
If I find something to bring healing to my life or to my body, I'm going to tell you about it. Why? If I love you, I'll tell you about it. Mm-hmm. Right? And so that's what we're talking about. So this is what Christians should want and long for, and even have a groaning for. If we like the things of the flesh, if we like having arguments and stuff like that, and we're comfortable with that, there's something wrong with our experience.
That's right.
So now the scripture tells us in verse 29, we read it there, it said, was it 29? Verse 25, there's not a 29. If we live in the Spirit, then let us walk in the Spirit. Now think about that. If we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Now it seems like they're kind of, is he repeating or whatever? But see, you can live in the Spirit down inside and never flesh it out. And this is what Paul is saying. And he starts way back over here at the beginning of what I read there. Let me see if I can find it. But it's in there at the beginning. And so he says the same thing here in this verse right here, that if you live in the Spirit, you should also walk in the Spirit. And so, you should walk in the Spirit, meaning that you take that experience that's down inside you, and you flesh it out.
Yeah.
You take that and you begin to rule and you begin to reign, and you take that experience down inside and you subdue your flesh, subdue your thinking, every imagination, every conscience, and everything that's contrary to Christ. You cast it down and let the Word of God reign in your thinking. And so that's what he's referring to there, that if you are a born-again person, you're living in the Spirit. I may have said flesh a while ago, but if you're living in the Spirit, then walk in the Spirit. Right?
Yep.
Walk in the Spirit. Take those things that you know down inside, and you subdue your flesh and manifest that in your life.
Amen?
Amen?
That's right.
So he says that we should actually walk in the Spirit, flesh it out, by crucifying the flesh every day, both in your body and also in your spirit, in your the part of your human nature, the human spirit that is contrary to the Word of God. Basically, anything that's contrary to the Word, you know it doesn't come from God. We know that. You say, well, how do I know it's God? Well, is it contrary to the Scripture? If it is, you know that it didn't come from Him, because He's perfect.
That's right.
We cannot overstate that. He is perfect. He means exactly what He says. He's got something prepared for us that's more than we can imagine. And when we get there, we're going to feel, I'm just saying this, and like Paul, I speak as a man, okay? When we get there, we're going to feel awful foolish to see what He's got for us and realize how little we did to point to that.
Yeah.
It's just the magnitude is so great.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to walk in the Spirit. We want to find ways to starve that black dog out. Look for ways to make him weak. Look for ways to make him have less say-so in your life. Right? I mean, that's our biggest thing right there, is to get up every day and combat our worst enemy, which is us.
Yes.
Right? Combat our worst enemy, which is us. That should be our number one. If you've got an enemy that's closer to you, might have five of them lined up, the one you need to get is the one closest to you. And that's you, yourself. Take care of him, and you'll probably find out the rest of them will disappear, because he's your worst enemy. And so we want to find ways to starve out the black dog and make make him weak each day by just constantly warring against the flesh and keeping it subdued. So we should not limit God.
Right.
We should not limit him, and that's what we do with our unbelief. But I say it all this, we should not limit him, but we should not limit what he can do in your life. And therefore, this may sound crazy to say this, but therefore, don't you limit what you can do. You have confidence in what God is doing in your life, and take what he's given to you, and you go meet the enemy with it. Brother Branham, I read this quote this morning. He said that, you know, a lot of times people have faith, they're just afraid to use it. So take that life that you have, living in the Spirit, your fellowship you have, and flesh it out. Make it become a problem for the black dog. Make it become a problem for the devil. Yeah. Right? Challenge him. Go back, David, run to meet the enemy. He didn't dislike walking trouble. He went down there like he knew he was going to defeat the guy, because he did know. And that's what we're getting at, is to realize that we have been given power over the flesh, over the devil, but it's not just limited to just right here in your flesh. It's limited to the whole entire world. That's where we're heading. We are moving in a direction to absolute where the whole world belongs to us, yes, and ruling and reigning over the whole thing. Because Christ is coming to rule and reign in the millennium, right? And this whole earth is going to be subdued by him in the millennium. How's he coming? He's coming in you and I first.
That's right.
Right? That's exactly right. He's going to subdue it. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, we don't want to limit God. We don't want to limit what he can do. We don't want to limit what you can do when you know who you are.
Yeah.
And believe what you are. And take the initiative to take ground.
Yeah.
Take the initiative to take things that belong to you and realize, say, look, devil, you can either give it now, or you can give it a little bit later. It's going to cost you more. Mm-hmm. Because we are going to take the earth over. We're going to take this place over. We have to leave for a while and then come back. But we're going to take this place over. And God does not expect us to sit just right here in just our little old spot. And man, I'm a Christian and I've got the power to speak worlds into existence, but I can't go outside of this little realm right here. Mm-hmm. Does that sound like God? Anything that lives wants to push out. Anything that lives wants to expand and multiply, right? So we're not talking about death. When death reigns, you don't push out. You collapse in.
Yeah.
But when life is reigning, you push out and you expand out and you become bigger and greater. You take more territory,
yeah,
right?
Uh-huh.
When a farmer starts out with a little piece and he's successful, he buys more land, he gets more successful, he just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger, because that's growth. Right? That's what you want to do in your experience, is to take more of what God has said can be yours, but you've got to take it.
Yeah.
So you push out. You expand outward. You don't just sit still and say, well, this is all I can do is just pray for me. No, you have the ability to make the difference in more lives than just your own.
Amen.
More lives than just your own family, your own church. Push out. Mm-hmm. But you've got to take the initiative to do that. And run to meet the devil. Look for ways to expand out and to become greater and greater. And so, Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, we're familiar with this scripture, but it says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, all things. You know you can't go out and kill somebody. That's not what he's talking about.
Right.
But everything that God has promised you to be yours, you can do all these things. You can do all this through Christ only. Only through him.
Yeah.
Right? Only through him can you do these things. And so he is our strength.
Yeah.
I was listening to a testimony of a man. He was, you hear all these people tell stories about near-death experiences. They die and what they saw. When they come back, they tell you about it. All across the world in all kinds of religions, they all talk about this bright light and the things that they see. But I was listening to a testimony of a man. He was actually a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. And he was shot down. Him and his, he had a gunner, what they call a gunner. And some other airplane that delivered soldiers or helicopter got shot at, and so they sent him out to find out where the enemy was, see if they could get take care of him. And in the process, he got shot. His helicopter crashed, and so this man is shot up real bad. His arm's completely, he's losing all kinds of blood, and his gunner pulls him out of the wreckage, and he says, he pulls him over, and he said, there's this little bitty bush right here, and so the enemy's all around, and he knows, you know, and he said, I'm sitting there, and the reason why I'm telling you is this is the only testimony that I've heard that one thing after another, the experience this man had is what Brother Branham tells us. What we're going to.
Yeah.
It lines up. Whereas all these others, they don't talk about what this man talked about, even though he talked about the bright light. But the experience he had was message.
Yeah.
What God has shown us through this message, what we're coming to. And so, anyway, he's laying there and he talks about his experience. And I won't get into all that, but I want to point out the portions that do come to mind. So after he's blacked out, and now he sees the bright light, and he said, this bright light, he said, take the brightest thing that you know of, and it's a shadow compared to the presence of God. And he said, he's talking about he's light. He said, he's love. He said, that's what he is. He's love. And he said, it's hard to describe. Is he light? Is he energy? Is whatever? He said, but he is love. That was the most profound thing. He said, you never experienced this like this. Yes, it's a bright light, but it was love.
Yeah.
And he said, after a while, I began to realize, I went into a state, and he said, I could actually see. He said, I went and I was able to go down, and he said, I could see the molecules in the nutrients that were being pulled up through the roots of that plant up into that tree. He could move in, and he said, I began to expand out into the entire universe, and he said, I had a body, and he said, but it was meant for me not to stay in that body. He said, I could think, and he said, whatever I wanted to think of and dwell on, I could go there, just like that, I could be there. And whatever I was interested in, he said, then I could come back to my body anytime I wanted to. He said, but when I was back in my body, he said, it wasn't meant for me to be there. It was meant for me to be expanded outward into the whole universe to basically. And he said, I realized, and he said, yeah, I realize. He said, it's kind of my cocky nature, you know, at the time to be arrogant or whatever. But he said, you know, he says, now I'm dead, and I realize, you know, I'm saved. And he said, now I see this entire universe. And he says, I'm a super God. And this is what he told the people. He said, I was greater, many times greater than what we think God is. He said, I was much greater. And so you see, he was traveling like a thought. He could go wherever he wanted to be, but yet he had a body. You don't. Nobody else talks about this. See, so I mean, he said, I'm, and he said, God would let me see his thoughts. He would tell me. He wasn't speaking to me, but he would speak his thoughts to me, and I knew his mind. And he said, when I thought I'm a super God, he said he showed me, and he said he had me as a super God. He had me in the palm of his hands. And he said he was proud of me like a newborn child born into his kingdom. He said he was like a proud parent. He told me, even in this state that you're in as a super God, you can't even fathom what I am.
Yeah.
And think about that. So he traveled like a thought. Was to know these things. And Brother Branham said, go listen to who is this Melchizedek. He said, you bypassed your theophany to come for tempting, but he said, in that form you know all things.
Yeah.
That's what he said. Uh-huh. We have something greater to go to than what we are grasping.
Yeah.
See, the message, the Bible tells us, the message made it clear, and even this man's experience is telling you, you can tell this man was moved by what he had. And I didn't find anything wrong with his testimony. He said, listen, you can't be halfway. He said, it's got to be genuine.
Amen.
Right? He definitely was a changed man.
Yes.
And so He's traveling, I thought. But the thing that it really intrigued me was how that in that realm he was meant not to stay confined, but to expand out. God wanted him to expand out and to know all things and wanted him to be like God. Wanted him, and he said, I could see every little molecule. And he said, at the time, I didn't understand how all this stuff worked. I found out years later how those molecules of nutrients are drawn up through the plant. But he could see life. He could see every aspect of life and of the things of God and everything that God had placed. And God intended for him to expand outward, not be confined. And so the scripture tells us that we have tasted of the world to come when we have the Holy Ghost. And God does not want us just to stay confined. He wants us to branch out and take over the entire universe. That starts right here. Judgment must first start at the house of God. And you are the house of God. This is the house of God. We preach the gospel. We preach correction, judgment right here. Judge yourself. But it's right here in us. Judgment must start right here in our heart, in our experience, and then as that judgment, and we're set in order, and in the order of God's new birth and those things, then we can expand outward, and He intends for us to expand outward, and when we go to that realm, we're going to be expanding outward. So let's just do it now. Let's start expanding our spiritual kingdom, right? You know that rock that was cut out of the mountain by hand, without hands, and it struck that Gentile kingdom, and that happened in the days when Eisenhower and Khrushchev happened then, and it smote it. That means the damage has been done to the Gentile kingdom. It's crumbling. It's going to be blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor. And that stone would grow into a great mountain and fill all the earth. That message that came in that day while them rulers were here, that message came. It has smitten that kingdom first in the house of God.
Yep.
Right? It has judged in the house of God.
Right.
That system has no more rule and reign in me. It's pushed away. It's crumbled. Right. It's blown away like a chaff. It has no rule in me. And in that thing that has taken place in our hearts is going to fill the entire earth. And eventually these Gentile kingdoms in the physical will fall. But spiritually they've already fallen. See what I'm saying?
Yep.
So we are in a mode of expansion, even though it looks like we're just, Satan wants us to think, cowered down, just little bitty message churches, we're not doing nothing, we can't do. No, you're taking over the world.
Uh-huh.
You're taking over the world if you're expanding out like God wants. And so we're moving out and taking over. And that rock grows into a great mountain, fills all the earth. And we believe that to be the coming of the Lord. Amen. And so we are meant to expand out and not speak to ourselves. Now, I said all that to say this. If we allow the flesh to have control, if we allow the fallen portion of our spirit, which leans toward flesh, if that has control, that becomes a prison to you, and that's where you are. You're locked right here in this. You're only allowed to go as far as this lets you. Paul said, oh, by the way, when you gather together, I'll be there in spirit. Whoa, 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 wait, Paul, you can't be there because you're confined right here. No, I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can actually go somewhere. You can actually, by faith, you can actually put your presence somewhere. When you could be on the phone and somebody call you and they're having, somebody's dying, you could say, I'm coming there right now by faith. I'm putting my presence there. Paul did it for judgment or for whatever reason. See? But if you let these things rule and reign, then like I was illustrating with Paul, he said, well, I wish I could be there, but I'm down here in Macedonia or wherever. I can't be there. That's not what he said. Many times, just your prayer, Brother Brennan's prayer, over the phone, people will be healed. Just maybe he couldn't even get to the phone. See? We're not confined by this, by flesh. And so, but if we let the flesh rule, if we let the mindset of the flesh rule, then this is where we're limited and we have no expansion. We can't go beyond anything. We can't enjoy all the things that God wants us to have because we're in a jail called flesh.
Yeah.
Limited by thinking, limited by our physical abilities.
Yeah.
But the gospel says we're not limited.
Yeah.
We can go beyond these things, know all things, expand and fill the earth. That's where we're headed. This kingdom is headed. And so we have the freedom to move out. The law says you're in trouble and you're confined. You must be in jail.
Yeah.
And that jail is your flesh.
Yeah.
Right? That jail is your flesh. And when a person is going to be executed, they stay in jail and they take them to execution. But when you're not walking in the flesh, you walk in the spirit, then you're not in jail. You're not limited.
Yeah.
You're not under the law. They can't stop you
because
you're not breaking any law. Why? The police officer can sit out here and he can give you a ticket if you're driving too fast.
Yeah.
And they're expensive tickets now. Somebody told me today about somebody getting a ticket and it was $300 some odd. Right? I said, what happened to the days of the $35 ticket fine? But the policeman can give you a ticket if you speed, but he can't give you a ticket if you haven't been. So if by grace through faith we somehow believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and God imputes to us righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, right? He imputes to us and we're no longer under the law, then the law can't stop you. He can't hinder you. He can't lock you in. He can't keep you from going somewhere. You can go wherever you want to go in the Spirit. Right? We can be what? All things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us, right? He gives it, but it's only in Him. It's only in the Holy Ghost. This guy said that God said it, you're not ready, we're going to send you back. And he said, you can't send me back. He said, you can't show me this and then tell me I got to go back down there to that broken body that's laying there bleeding to death. He said, you can't do it. He said, if you send me back, I'll make sure and die. What he told him. He's talking to God. You know, we speak as men.
Yeah.
And God said, he said, he wasn't angry at me, but he was stern. He said, no, you're going back. And he said, if you ever try to take this, he said, you can only have this if I give it to you.
Yeah.
And if you ever try to take it, you'll never have it.
Yeah.
Think about it. God will give you eternal life. He gives this to you, and the only way you can get it is to receive it from Him. You can't take it. You can't force it. It's only by Him giving it to you, and you've got to receive it the way He gives it, through the grace of God.
Yeah.
You can't work your way to it. This man said, I thought before my experience, he said, I thought that, you know, God promises you everything, right? He said, my opinion was that he, I forget how he said it, but he promises you everything, but doesn't help you one bit. Requires all this of you.
Yeah.
He said, I come to find out that he doesn't require anything of you. He actually, what he said, when he promises you everything, he said, what I thought was he didn't promise me nothing because it was unattainable.
Right.
We can't attain to this. So it's nothing. He requires everything of me. I'm in this sinful body. He's requiring all this of me and gives me nothing. That's the way I felt. He said, afterwards I realized he gives me everything and requires almost nothing from me.
Yep.
And all he actually said, requires nothing. And all he asks you to do is believe.
Yep.
Let him live through you. Let him live in you. And so we are to expand out. And not be in jail. Not be confined by our flesh. For our flesh to tell us that you can't go and you can't do and you can't. It's like we talk about it all the time. Brother Ram talks about in his form letters, you know. He's the high priest of your profession. He said he will make your body line up. You realize that? If you got something Satan's trying to put on you and you make your confession, in agreement with the word, your profession, that he as a high priest has to stand there and make intercessions on behalf of what you have come to him for. So you're coming to him and he's the high priest and he's going to offer to God on your behalf. Brother Ben said he will make your, in other words, what you come to him and he becomes that priest to offer and he offers it and you are accepted. Because he's a high priest. So you know that if the Lord Jesus Christ provides it, he offers intercessions for you, you know it's going to work. Because he's a faithful high priest, right? So where's the weak point, if there is one? That's us coming to him. But if you come to him and you confess, then he has to make your body line up with your confession.
Yeah.
Is there a limit to that? I don't think so.
No.
I don't know of one, right? So if he says, if you're sick and you say, Lord, I thank you for healing me of whatever it is, then he has to go to work because he's a faithful high priest. If you're doing this like you're supposed to, he has to go and make intercessions on that, and then your body is going to have to line up with it.
That's right.
Right? Now, I've experienced that many times in my own physical body, but to expand out,
yeah,
to be more than just confined to what the flesh says it be, what the law says you can. Well, you can't be there. You can't be in the presence of God because you're a sinner. No, I'm not under the law. I'm not under the... The law is for the flesh, and I'm not under the law. I'm not under the flesh.
Yeah.
I'm not under the limitations of the flesh. I don't have to stay in this flesh. I can leave and go someday, and it will happen, right? See, that's what we're trying to get at here is this flesh is your prison if you let it be. But he said you don't have to,
mm-hmm,
right? We're going to have a body change at some point when that faith strikes. But even between now and then, we can expand out. Take this kingdom and take land and take what belongs to us.
Yeah.
This is the first hour. You know, remember Tolkien was for the whole family. Tolkien could only be at evening time. Right?
Yeah.
And we're at evening time. So this is the first time that ye and your house can be saved. Like, that is a blanket statement that is given. And though we see it in the scriptures, it's clear now that we can expand out. Then anybody you can get to come underneath the token can be saved. So expand out and go out with confidence, believing that the same thing worked for you works for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep moving out. Keep moving out. And don't be in the prison of your own flesh, your own fallen thinking. Cast it to the side and be all that you can be. They have that advertisement years ago. I think it was for Army or something like that. Be all that you can be.
Yeah,
be all that you can be as a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen? And we can be. Just push out. You don't have to do anything except take the life that he has given you and just let it push out. Let it be what it wants to be.
Amen.
Amen? They can't hurt you. They can't harm you. Not even death can harm you.
Yep.
Right? So what are they going to do? If you're doing that which is right, who's going to be the one to condemn you?
Right.
They can't. Even if they ran on you with a bulldozer, they couldn't hurt you because you belong to him. So Brother Branham tells us in this sermon, Look Unto Jesus in 1964, he says, some of my brethren would say that God gave me a gift of healing. He said, you know what a gift of healing is? Faith is healing. See, you just release your faith to pray for someone, and that's all the gift of healing is. And every minister should have it, and everybody, see, should have the gift of healing. Everybody is what he says. The power that heals you is on the inside of you, the Holy Spirit. You just have to let it work its way out. Expand out. That's all. Just like the life that's in the tree. You don't have to pour apples into the apple, into the tree to make it bear apples. It's just planted in the ground and it drinks in and pushes out. Well, that's the way you do the Holy Spirit. It's on the inside of you. You just drink from the inexhaustible fountain of Jesus Christ, and it pushes out these fruits of the Spirit. See? Amen?
Yeah.
Just drink in.
Yes.
Enjoy the presence of the Lord. Be in fellowship with him. Say, Lord, where would you have me to go? What would you have me to say? What would you have me to do? Just walk with him.
Yeah.
And when he says, say something, say it. If he says, refrain, refrain.
Yeah.
When the light moves, move. When it stands still, stand still. Just walk with him and fellowship with him, and he'll have you push it out.
That's right.
Because it's him in you doing it. Why? Because everything that's living expands. And this message is expanding. Right? Might not look like it in the natural, but it is.
Yeah.
in the spirit realm, it is expanding out, and eventually it will take over this world completely. Amen. You love him?
Amen.
You get out early today. Amen. Thank you for pulling on the word. We'll let the musicians come. I'll pray. I don't have a song just yet, but maybe the Lord will give us one if Jordan doesn't have one. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be in the house of God today. Lord, we love you. We thank you for your promises that you've given us out of your scriptures. We thank you for sending a message in this day to make this Bible become a new book to us. Like a flashlight has illuminated to show us that these things that are written are absolutely true, absolutely so. And so, Lord, I just ask God that you take these words that are given to the people this morning, that if any portion was confusing anyone, Lord, that you would straighten it out. You'd make it all work out. You're the dissolver of doubts. We ask God that you would just help us now as we get ready to go from this place. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with us in our fellowship. And Lord, most of all, that this word would have reign and ruling power in our lives, just to let the judgment of God begin to work right here in our own bodies, our own flesh, and then move out into the world. Help us to understand, Lord, that we don't want to propagate out into the rest of the world something that's not right. So God, just speak to our hearts and help us in our own experience to tally up with your word. We love you, Lord. We ask God that you be with us in these things and ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. God bless you. What song you got, brother?
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord.
Okay.
Amen.
See him in his word long before you see him with some physical eye. Amen. Matter of fact, to see him in his word is greater than any other way that you can see him. Amen. So God bless you. Let me just ask you to remember remains as they travel, as they're on vacation. Pray the Lord just for, give them rest, and that as Brother Tim visits Love Lake and Continental Lake, that he catches a lot of fish. I told him the other night, I said, Brother Tim, I dreamed about Continental Lake the night before I was telling him.
Yeah.
He kind of chuckled about it. I don't know why. I don't normally dream about stuff like that. But anyway, just ask the Lord to bless them and give them the refreshing and everything that they have need of, and come back with it. Keep them safe. A lot of miles to travel, a lot of evils on the road, but our God is able to keep them.
Amen.
So we just want to commit that to them, and just pray for Brother Daniel's dad. They got a situation there that God is able. We just have to give it to him.
Amen.
That's right. Man fails, they make mistakes, but let's give it to God. And just ask him to take care of it.
Yes.
And probably about 10 feet behind me, I have an issue that I need help with.
Yes.
God is able.
Amen.
Okay? So, Lord bless you. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. We'll sing another song. How about I Love Him?